Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning with verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now increase our faith through them. Amen. When I was a student pastor in 1986, there was a horrible nuclear disaster over in Chernobyl, Ukraine, part of the Soviet Empire at the time. And a nuclear power plant reactor exploded, and ultimately a city in the area of about 50,000 people had to be immediately evacuated due to the spread of the radiation. And about 60 people died initially. But there was an ongoing effect from this, that radiation infected so many people that they estimate it may have been tens of thousands who died from it. The firemen who originally went in to deal with that and with the explosion, 12 of them died. And in order to protect people from their dead bodies, their graves had to be dug even deeper and sealed in more concrete than typical in order to try to prevent the radiation from spreading. Death has ongoing consequences, even for the living. There's a fallout from that, and some people wonder if it's ever really been measured entirely on how it impacted the health of the people around them. So when you think about death, we don't like to think about it a lot, of course, but when was the first time in your life when the impact of someone dying really kind of hit you hard? It was kind of painful. I was 4 when my grandfather died. And just a week or two before that, I'd been putting cold washcloths on his head and listening to my uncle sing hymns at his bedside. And that's the first time that I kind of felt the pain of someone dying. And then to watch his widow, my grandma, having to deal with life without him, that was kind of another ongoing fallout of his death, and watching her deal with that going forward. And then my mom, his daughter, my mom, occasionally at the dinner table, we'd be singing a family hymn or a devotion or something, and she'd break into tears. And as a little kid, I just, "Why in the world are you crying?" And she'd say, "Oh, that hymn reminds me of Grandpa." And so there's just an ongoing fallout that just continues to spread because of having to deal with death. And it's hard to watch our loved ones when somebody close to them dies. It's hard to watch them deal with such a permanent loss. The family in our text here, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, were obviously good friends of our Lord. We hear about him going to visit them at the town of Bethany, which is where our campus gets its name, of course, from this family. And they're dealing here in this chapter with the aftershock and kind of the fallout of the death of this brother. And it's interesting, isn't it, that the Holy Spirit dedicates one entire chapter out of 21 chapters of the Gospel of John to this incident. One entire chapter gives us the full discussion, it seems, that goes on between Jesus and Martha and the impact that this had had on them. And it shows how truly real and not just theoretical the whole issue of death is. Even in the scriptural accounts that God displays for us here, just how devastating it is for us to have to deal with this horrible enemy. And how it really affects people on a very personal level. It's interesting to notice the different ways that we have to sort of observe death and deal with death. Our newspapers, which you don't read anymore, I know, but our newspapers print obituaries every day. And it's just an ongoing expression of the fact that that's such a reality in our lives. And we expect it when it's somebody older. We expect it when it's somebody 70, 80, 90 years old. But it's a lot harder when to address in our youth. Not too many years ago, I had a freshman here at Bethany say to me, "I don't mind it when you talk about death when it comes to an old person who dies, but I hate it when you talk about a young person dying." It affected her differently, and I know that was true for me too. There's a different type of pain, an ongoing fallout from death that affects us when we're young. I still remember in grade school, my eighth grade teacher explaining to us one day that if statistics are true, out of our classroom of 18, there were, I think, two different grades in there, but out of our classroom of 18, one of us would die probably in a car accident by the time we graduated high school. It wasn't quite right, but it turned out that there was one that died around age 20. And when I was in ninth grade, the young lady that sat right next to me in class was killed in a car accident as well. And I remember that hit me totally differently than my grandparents' deaths, which had just happened a few years earlier. Now, we have a tendency in us, because there's a pain connected with dealing with death, we have a tendency in us to kind of ignore this evil enemy. But our Lord Jesus invites us to walk up and face it directly, head on. And while Jesus is on his way, he says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." That's a great line, isn't it? "I'm going there to wake him up." Now, how much lighter and insignificant could Jesus make death than that? To say, "I'm going to go wake him up." How much easier could he make the resurrection of our bodies back to life sound than that? And all it would take is him talking and saying it loudly enough to penetrate down into the grave to have this man suddenly come back to life. Just think from God's perspective, okay? From God's perspective, how insignificant and little death really is. To us, it's devastating and horrible. I get it. But from God's perspective, how tiny it is. The Lord and giver of life, through just the power of a few words, can cause a dead body to be revitalized and come back to life. And certainly in the great resurrection that's coming, to give us glorified bodies through that process. Lazarus was called back into a life still filled with death and sin and sickness. He died again. But those who will be resurrected on the great last day will receive the glorified, eternal resurrection. And Jesus, of course, earlier in this same chapter says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." But then he says to her, "Do you believe this?" And that's a crucial question. And that's a crucial question for each one of us today. Jesus is not just trying to find out if Martha would buy into the concept of the resurrection, but he specifically is drawing attention to faith. Do you believe this? And God, through my mouth, calls on you today through that same and asks that same question. Do you believe this? Because faith is what brings Christ to your side at death and with him all of the trouble and pains that are associated with dying, they all fall away into nothing. What a powerful and amazing thing that we have in this little thing in our hearts called faith that we can't even find inside of us through a surgeon's tools. But this blessing of faith that God, the Holy Spirit, has created in our hearts to grab onto Christ and to put our trust and our confidence in him who not only paid for our sins but is giving us the hope of coming back to life from our graves, that tiny little thing in us, faith, is all it takes to defeat this horrible enemy of death. And how much clearer could Jesus make it to show you and me the power that he has over death, that death is insignificant to God? How much clearer could he make it to us? He could have told you, well, go and attempt to preserve your body as long as you can. He could have told you to study hard and learn everything that you can to try and beat death. He would have told you to gather all of your strength and resources and money and anything you can to try to defeat this. And maybe see if you can get the rulers of the world to come and gather around you. But in order to give you and me confidence and to show his supreme authority over death, he just chooses the smallest thing in us, and yet what an enormous thing it is, and that is faith. Just trust my word. I love how every time we as a church confess the Apostles' Creed, it's a wonderful closing reminder of how this tiny little thing of faith, which is what we're confessing in the creed, has defeated the devil. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And so with Christ at your side by faith, we don't need to ignore death. We don't need to try to push it away and pretend it doesn't exist, but rather we can face it head on with this Savior and defy it. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen.